I want you to put yourselves in Peter and James and John's shoes for just a minute. They've been traveling with a caravan of disciples for a few years now. Jesus has led them, taught them, corrected them, encouraged them. They've learned about the poor. They've learned about how to take care of others. They've done the rich, the down and out, the up and the in. They've done everything that Jesus had to show them. They've been in the presence of the master teacher. And there is a lot that they have learned and yet a lot to be learned. And on this particular day, Jesus tells them to come with him up on a mountain. Peter, James, and John. Yes, we know. Peter was somebody a little bit special and unique to Jesus. James, the Lord's brother, and John, the one that Jesus loved. Of course, he is going to ask them to go up on this hillside to meet with him there. But something happened when they were there. Scripture says in Matthew 17:2 that Jesus was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. Jesus, in the blink of an eye, is changed before them. He is transfigured. He appears in a glorious way. Think about the phrases that are used here. Bright as the sun. His clothes, being very good, probably to begin with, began to change right before their eyes. And it says that there appeared with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and they were talking with him. Think about that for a minute. There is Moses and Elijah with Jesus. Something miraculous was happening. Why do I say it was miraculous? Well, first, Jesus is transfigured. Secondly, Moses and Elijah appeared. And finally, I think what's really miraculous is Peter and James and John apparently recognized Moses and Elijah. They'd never met him before, but they knew who it was, and they're speaking to Jesus. I want you to think for a minute. Peter, James, and John, what's going through their heads? I mean, did they hear the conversation, or did they just see the lips moving? Were they leaning in a little bit to try to hear what was being said? Or did they think that maybe we ought to just stay over here and not get into that because it's none of our business? You ever had a phone conversation with somebody? It particularly happens on cell phones. Happened this past Friday with my district superintendent, where they call you and talk to you, and then they hang up, but they didn't hang up. You ever had that experience? And then you have to make the moral decision. Do I want to listen to what they're saying, or do I want to hang up? Peter is that guy. Peter, James, and John are all three listening, but Peter is the guy. And Peter says to Jesus, maybe because he was nervous, maybe because he had to say something, he says, Lord, it's good that we're here. If you wish, I will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Peter has to say something. I see Peter as being a little bit nervous in the situation. He doesn't know what to say, so he blurts out of his mouth what he does say. Lord, I'm really glad to be here. Can I build three temples or tabernacles or whatever it is for you and Moses and Elijah? And you got to stop and think about this for a minute. Moses. Think about it. Moses. I mean, the man played Charlton Heston in the movie The Ten Commandments. Moses. You know, Moses brought down the two tablets. Moses gets to the edge of the sea, raises his arms, and they part. Moses, let my people go. Moses, all of those frogs and all that stuff that happened, it's him and Elijah. I mean, those prophets of Baal and the fire that came down and licked up the water. Elijah, who represented all of the prophets, this was a big deal. And Peter breaks the silence. Lord, this is so really special. Lord, it's so special that if you're willing, I would like to build three tabernacles to commemorate this. Lord, could I build them to honor you? And that's really a question that Peter asks. But I want you to see something. If you read that scripture with me today and you listened close, Jesus doesn't answer Peter's question. Peter, can I build 3 tabernacles here for you? Can I build 3 tents for you and Moses and Elijah? If Jesus answers that question, it changes the story. Because it's a yes-no question. Let's postulate for a minute. Jesus says yes. Go ahead and build those tents. Then that whole humility thing we have about Jesus running through the Gospels is killed because he looks like a prideful, arrogant narcissist, right? Yeah, you can build a trophy house for me. If he says no, then what happens? Well, think about Elijah and Moses. He's just not letting them have their due. But somebody does answer the question. And it's not Jesus or Moses or Elijah. It says Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from out of the cloud spoke. And listen to what it says. This is my beloved Son. You listen to him. What happens next is really a little bit strange as well. When the disciples heard this, they were frightened. It actually means terrified. And they fell on their faces. Why were they afraid? Was it the voice? I mean, was it that real deep voice of God that you always see in the movies that frightened them? Was it just the specter of a voice out of nowhere speaking? Was it the message? This is my Son. I'm pleased with him. You listen to him. Did they recognize the voice? Had they heard it before? Or did they just know that this was a voice that they needed to listen to? Or did they just realize that in the presence of Moses and Elijah, they were now looking at Jesus in a different way than they had before? And maybe the voice was meant to get them back on track. You, if you're here regularly, you know that I take road trips through Scripture. I'm about to take one. My apologies to you, I won't be long. But I do want to go here. Moses and Elijah have been gone for a few thousand years. Suddenly, they're back in the story. You didn't expect that. If you didn't know this story and you hadn't read the Gospels before, that would have been a surprise. That would have been an aha. But as strange as it seems, because we think the Bible is all about God, there's another surprise. God speaks. You didn't see that coming either. Why does God speak right here at this point? If you were to go back just one chapter, remember we read in these little pericopes, that stories in the Gospels, we read these little narrow pieces of Scripture, Matthew 17, 1-8 that I read to you today, but there's a whole bunch of stuff going on around the story, and I just want you to back up with me for a minute to Matthew 16, one chapter before, because it's part of the story. And in Matthew 16, you'll recall this story. Jesus crosses Galilee with his disciples, and it says they realized that they brought no bread. And they're talking amongst themselves. We brought no bread. What are we going to eat? What are we going to feed? Blah, 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 blah. And Jesus, realizing that they're worried about bread, says this little statement to them in Matthew 16, verse 5. He says, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees." Now, Jesus wasn't talking about bread. He was talking about their teaching. The Pharisees were plugged into the Torah. Before you go very far from that thought, Moses, Elijah, the law, the prophets, everything that's going up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, the Pharisees were into that. And the Sadducees. Sadducees, they didn't believe in a resurrection. If you get down under their teachings, they actually didn't believe that we were eternal beings at the end of the day. Because once you die, that's it. It's game over. So this message of Jesus Christ wouldn't have mattered to either one of them, because here's the reason. You see, the Pharisees were so stuck on the Torah, they couldn't let anything else in. Because the Torah had become for them a way of life where they would dictate or control everybody that they wanted to control. And the Sadducees, they were just Sadducees. It didn't matter anyhow. There's no resurrection. None of this is important. Here's the first man who, in short order, is going to prove, A, number one, there is a resurrection. B, there's something more than the Torah. And C, we are eternal beings. And his message does matter. Right after this in Matthew 16, there's something else. I told you this road trip won't be long. Stay with me. We have time. There's this conversation with Peter and his disciples. I need to really read this to you so you get it. Listen to this story for a minute. And I'm going to get back to Matthew 17. But in Matthew 16, listen to this. The disciples came to Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you say I am?" And Simon Peter said, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus is elated. Jesus says, "Oh, Simon Peter, you're blessed. No man, no flesh and blood has taught this to you. It's been revealed to you from heaven. My Father gave that to you. And Peter, I'm going to tell you something. You're the rock. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. And whatever you loose in heaven will be loosed on earth. And whatever you loose or bind on earth will be bound in heaven." He's talking about the message of forgiveness. And he says, "Peter, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom because you got this right. Peter, you are something else." And the very next thing that happens, Jesus begins to tell his disciples that he's going to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter takes him aside and says, "Far be it from you, Lord. That'll never happen to you." And I want you to pay attention to what happens next. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You haven't set your mind on the things of God. You've set your mind on the things of men." What I want you to see, church, is this. Peter, you're the rock. I'll give you the keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You are something else. My Father showed that to you. You didn't learn it anywhere. And in the next breath, "Get behind me, Satan." And then we get to this story that we're discussing this morning. Just so you know, that little road trip is over, but it was important. We're back at Matthew 17. Because what happens up there on that mountain when Peter says, "Lord, can I build a tent for you and a tent for Moses and a tent for Elijah?" Peter elevated Moses and Elijah up to the status of Jesus, and in the process, he lowered Jesus to the status of Moses and Elijah. God was speaking to his disciples through Jesus all along. Even when he rebuked Peter in Matthew 16, even when he said to Peter, "You're the rock, and upon this rock I'll build my church," all of that was God-inspired. All of it was God-teaching. But listen, church, I want to tell you something. Sometimes we don't listen like we're supposed to. And when God shows up, when Peter says, "Lord, can I build a tabernacle for you and a tabernacle for Moses and a tabernacle for Elijah?" You got to hear what God says. God says, this. Are you with me? This right here. Look at him. This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Did I tell y'all I'm going to puppy school? We had our spring break already, but it starts back up this afternoon. Bo and I would be going to our second session. He's going on for a graduate degree. One of the first things they teach in puppy school is you gotta keep the dog's attention. The most frustrating thing on earth for me is when I gotta say to Bo, look at me. Because when I gotta say to Bo, look at me, it is because he is distracted by everything else. Just as a side note, Harrison Ford's in a movie called The Wild. You ever read the book? You gotta go see the movie. The first 30 minutes is so hilarious about that dog. You just gotta watch it. Anyway, back here. When I gotta say to Bo, look at me, it's because he is distracted by everything else. And when God steps into the transfiguration, folks, Peter, probably James and John, but I guarantee you Peter is distracted. Peter, we're not building tents here. Peter, I've been talking all along, but Matthew 16 is enough for me to know that you haven't been listening. I gave you the keys of the kingdom. I promised you that you could forgive whoever you wanted. You could release whoever you wanted. And Peter, you could not even get in line with my will when I told you what it was going to be. It says when that voice spoke, they fell to the ground and they were terrified. Church, listen. Matthew 17, verse 7. Jesus walks up to Peter, James, and John. This is what it says. He touches them. And he says, rise, have no fear. Moses didn't touch them. Elijah didn't touch them. Jesus touched them. And he says to them, have no fear. I think for possibly the first time, if not the first time in a long time, Peter was listening to Jesus. Simply and plainly, Jesus says, stand up. And they stood up. Jesus says, have no fear. They lost their fear. And you gotta love what Matthew writes next, because in the 8th verse, it says this, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Church, I really want you to get this. When they've got no fear, and Jesus tells them to look up, they do that. They found the ability to overcome their fears. Something has changed, and all they see is Jesus. Now, we aren't told that Moses left, and we aren't told that Elijah left. Maybe they did, maybe they didn't. But all that they could see when they got rid of their fear and they listened the way they were told, all they could see was Jesus. That cloud seems to be gone. Moses seems to be gone. You know, Moses is important. He represents everything Jewish in the law, God's deliverance, all those things. Elijah represents the prophets. He speaks to injustice. They were important, but they weren't the Messiah. Only Jesus could fulfill that role. And in that sense, with Christ close enough that he could touch Peter, James, and John, listen, Elijah and Moses were sideshows. They were collateral. They were clutter. You say, Joel, man, they're big shots in the Old Testament. Yeah, they are. But I want to tell you something about Jesus. Can't even compare. Moses had a lot of issues. Elijah had a lot of issues. Jesus, stand up. Have no fear. Listen. Moses and Elijah are a portion of something. But Jesus. Don't you love that old hymn? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full at his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You know what, church? Some of us have done what Peter did. You have done some pretty awesome things in your Christian walk. I mean, you started out participating in very extremely good things. We did. And there are parts of our walk where we had the greatest fulfillment and joy learning about Jesus and in serving Christ. But somewhere in that movement, we did good at the expense of the best. We've been involved in things that we do as our gift to Christ or our gift to the church, and we do it often at the expense of the best, and that's Jesus. And here's the bottom line, and man, I so wish I could get that up on that screen. But here's the bottom line. When Christ is the only attraction, you will have no room for distractions. You see, our problems come when we make our distractions as big as the main attraction. I've been in ministry since 1985. I know that's not long for some of you, but that's how long I've formally been doing what I do, and I've learned something. I've seen great ministries start, and they're Christ-centered, they're mission-focused, they're beautiful, but you give them a little time or a lot of time, and I'll tell you what generally tends to happen. Our focus gets out of focus. What was once a good way to reach people with the good news of the gospel of Jesus simply becomes a social program or a weekly meeting or a club or worst. It becomes a personality event revolving around one person or some group's felt need to feel good. And it has nothing to do with Jesus. Don't say amen, say ouch. We start an outreach whose purpose is to present the gospel, and in a few years it has no purpose. Its outreach is meant to fulfill the need in its leaders and to do something nice instead of something Christ-centered. And we do something good at the expense of something great. And we focus on our Moseses and our Elijahs instead of on our Jesus in that process. Start a new Bible study. Our goal is to teach about the Bible and learn about Jesus, and it moves to become a social gathering where we discuss everything but the Bible. We pray before we eat so we have some modicum of being Christian. We just socialize and discuss our politics, of course, all from a Christian point of view. But it's not about Jesus. And we're building those tabernacles to our Moseses and our Elijahs, dragging Jesus down to their level, and in some cases worse, down to ours. When we elevate the good, we distract from the best. When we make second best our goal, we drag the best down and ignore it. Some of us here today, I want you to hear the word us. We started off with a desire to serve the King of Kings. He was the main attraction when we started out. We may have had the gift to sing or play. We joined the choir or the brass or the bells. But in time, it became a social group instead of a spiritual gift. It became a club instead of a ministry. And our focus fell off of Jesus, and we settled for less than the best. Some of us, and I want to focus on us, have had a real knack for kids, and so we joined up with the Bible school or the Sunday school. We jumped in with both feet. We wanted to reach children for Christ. But in time, it failed to be a ministry. It became a babysitting position. And in the work of preparation and planning, we forgot it was about bringing kids to Jesus. And it became a job, an occupation with a big drag. And it dragged Jesus right out of us. We've lost our focus. We've done a lot of good, but we failed to do what we should have been doing with Jesus. We've settled for less than the best, and what was once freeing us to serve is now a noose around our neck, it's sucking the lifeblood out of us. Some of us wanted to start some program to feed the poor, to care for the poor, and we did it, but it's changed. It's now a lot of work with little reward, and when we see hungry faces and hungry people, we become cynical about whether their need is real. We question their motives. We see them as a number instead of a human. And when we used to look in their face and see Jesus, now all we see is a beggar that won't get a job and is lazy. Jesus isn't in it. Some of you had some gift that I don't even know about that you used for Christ. But something happened. That gift that Jesus gave you became a talent that you now use for yourself. And you've become so good at what God gifted you with that you forgot it was about Him, and it's become about you and your ability. And Jesus is not to be found, because in your pursuit to be the best at your talent, you settled for less than the best. You've unwittingly elevated yourself and lowered Him. And He's disappeared off the mountaintop, and He let you have that dimming, unfulfilling spotlight rest on you for the short time it will. Joy and happiness is gone. If that's you this morning, God's got an answer to that. I don't often ask you to do that. You have not, I don't think in my entire ministry have I said to you, now close your eyes and I want to raise your hands. I don't do that deal. But I'm going to ask you to do something like that this morning. Please indulge me this one time. I want you to close your eyes for a minute. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see yourself looking at Jesus Christ. Look at Him closely. Now, I want you to take your ministry or your gift or the thing that you once did for Him right there next to Him. I want you to slide it into that picture right next to Him. That thing which once was so fulfilling and joyful for you, place it right there. Now drop in a few clouds and a really bright light and a voice. God's voice. And I want you to hear what God is saying. This is my Son. Listen to Him. Can open your eyes for a minute. Because I think what Jesus is saying, what God is saying, is put Jesus first. Focus your attention on Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Let Jesus have your best time. Let Jesus have your best of everything. He is the only one worthy of it. Not you, not your friends, not your study group, not your choir, not your pastor. Jesus. He's the only one worthy of our time and our talent and our treasure. Refocus. Get yourself back in line. Back in the book of Isaiah, church, there's this passage that many of you are going to know. It's from Isaiah 29, verse 13. Listen to it. The Lord said, because this people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their hearts are far from me. Did you hear that? They draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips. But their hearts are far from me. That's in Isaiah 29. That's God speaking to the people who at one point said, who is like you, O God? Who among the gods is like you, majestic in your holiness, awesome in your deeds, doing wonders amongst us? I mean, that's the same people. He's speaking to those people right there. He's speaking to the same people. Rather, this is the same author who penned these words. Get this. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. 20 verses later, he's saying, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. You know, Jesus quoted that passage in Matthew 15. He quoted it and he said, these people honor me with their lips, their hearts far from me. And I know if you go read the context of that, Jesus is speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees. And you may be asking this morning in your head, you may comment and say, Joel, you know Jesus was speaking to Pharisees and Sadducees there. What has that got to do with me? And if that's your question this morning, you are getting my point. It has everything to do with us. You give anything enough time and it will transform itself. The most perfect being that ever walked this earth was transfigured before the eyes of Peter, James, and John, and they were privileged to see his glory. But they still got distracted. Most things, given enough time, will also transform themselves in our lives. Because given enough time, because of our sinful nature, they will not transfigure to the glorious. Usually, they will transform to the worst. Pharisees had the Moses and Elijah piece right. They just allowed it over time to be transformed into what God never intended for it to become. The commandments and teachings of the prophets that Elijah proclaimed, they were changed into what people wanted instead of what God wanted. They became commandments of men instead of the commandments of God. And on that mountaintop of the transfiguration, God pointed something out for Peter and James and John and for us. No matter how much noise is in the room, listen for Jesus. Because when Christ is the only attraction, you'll have no room in your heart for all of your distractions. Peter, you've lost focus. Listen to Jesus. It's not about the Pharisees or the bread or real keys to a physical kingdom. It's about Jesus. Listen to him. It's not about Moses and the laws. They're important, but it's not about Elijah and the prophets. They're important. It's about Jesus. It's about putting Jesus back at the center of why we do what we do. It's about putting Jesus first in everything. Church, it is easy to get sidetracked. You know that. There was a time in my life when I did not need a GPS, but I became dependent on one. I could be anywhere, and I'd go north, south, east, west. But technology helped me to know where I was, and I let it. Friends, we tend to do that with so many things, and when we do it, we lose sight of Jesus. We let the feel-good take his place. We let the applause of others take his place. We take the opportunity to impart our knowledge to take his place. And we forget that it's really supposed to be about him. When that happens and we stop learning and stop growing into his image, God needs to come down and whisper in our ear. And I hope you heard it this morning. Jesus is my beloved son. You listen to him. Amen. Let's stand and sing.